Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, the Crimson Twins from G.I. Joe. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tales. Now, police work is one of the hardest jobs in the world, and I really admire anybody who does it and does it well. But if I would have known just how hard it can be, I probably would have appreciated them a little bit more. And also, you really shouldn't give up on your dreams. That's what I learned this week when I talked to Hank Stankowski. Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. Just as a reminder, Nate and I are going to have some fun stuff coming up for you in the future. Some original content, things you can find online like swag and behind the scenes bits and stuff like that. But today, joining me on My Neighbors Are Dead is my good pal, Andy St. Clair. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for doing this, my man.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm a tad sleep deprived, but I'm ready to rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to why are you sleep deprived?
I'm sleep deprived because I have a 7-week old baby.
A lot of new babies.
Yeah. It's the in thing to do here in LA.
It seems like.
Yep.
Andy and I are old friends, mm-hmm. but a lot of our friends are having babies.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Or have had babies.
And they're all girls.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And I've added right to that girl list.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, Brett, and then we have Fred who's having one, and then Mary Beth had one. So we're just kind of building a girl army in LA.
It's going to be a good girl army. Yeah. I got to get on that, man. I got to find somebody to have a girl with.
Yeah. Well, you can just find her one night. You can do it so easily. Yeah. You don't even have to really. I married a lovely lady.
Your wife is lovely.
Thank you. And I just wanted to make sure you said that on the podcast.
Yeah.
If she listens, now she knows.
Sure.
Big fan. Yep. Good. Good. Yeah. We got it all on record. but you don't even have to marry him. You can just do it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
that's cool.
Yeah.
It seems like.
It's cool. You know, when I was younger, my mom would send me out. She'd always tell me, don't get anybody pregnant or keep your dick in your pants. Like, that was when I was like early 20s. And then when I got into like late 20s, early 30s, she one time told me, she was like, you know, if you had a kid out of wedlock, I wouldn't be mad.
She was itching to be a grandma?
Yeah. Yeah. Then my brother came through.
Your brother came through?
Yeah.
I've still haven't gotten the have a kid. I think my mom knows it's a lost cause.
Yeah. Well, mine did too. And then when we told her I was having a baby, I think it was found money for her.
Oh, really?
Just found money.
That's exciting.
She was like, this is great. I can't believe he did it. I've done these things later in life, and I think now she appreciates them. That's why I did. I wanted to prove something to her.
Wanted to prove her wrong?
Yeah, I wanted to prove her wrong.
So I know what I'll do. I'll marry a lovely lady and have a baby with her. Yeah, an adorable baby.
Right. She thought I was going to be just a single jackass for most of my life. Well, eat that, Mary.
She thought you were going to be me.
Yeah, no, well, I was. I am you, right?
Pretty
I was
much, you. Yeah. We're not too far apart.
No.
Well, cool, man. Congratulations. I'm glad, even though you're sleep deprived, you're doing this.
Thank you.
So today, let's talk about, do you like horror movies? We're going to do maybe not a traditional horror movie today, but do you like horror movies at all?
You know, I'm not the world's biggest horror movie fan. Mm-hmm. I find them to be, I don't love being scared, even though I know almost in the movie world now, like horror movies are almost a guaranteed moneymaker, right? I mean, those are still the movies that are successful nowadays. But I don't love them. I mean, I have not watched like The Quiet Place, not that that is a super horror movie, but that seems scary to me.
Yeah.
Also, I think the idea of, I wish I would have saw it in the theater for that movie in particular.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a bigger experience than watching it at home when you could just stop it and be like, okay.
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
I think it's like a lot of comedians are making that transition, right? Like what Krasinski and
Jordan's been, and Jordan loves those movies. Which I never knew that about him.
Apparently a big dork about him.
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed.
He loves them. Yeah. I haven't seen his new one, Us.
It's great.
Yeah. I'm going to go next week. I think, give it a couple weeks to get people out of the theater.
Yeah. You don't want them there.
The best person though, if you ever get a chance and if is you need to get, you know, Rush Howell. Mm-hmm. Rush Howell is the best person to see a movie with, or especially a scary movie, but he'll never go into them. but you should go and see a movie with him if you get the chance.
He won't go to a horror movie, but he'll
he
go.
Won't. Okay. But you could maybe convince. He's the jumpiest person.
Oh, really?
Like, I mean, he'll jump any, like, it's a slow creak of the door, and he's like, it's like he jumps.
Yeah, it's just so fun going with, like, that whole experience. Like,
yeah.
You know, when you go to see, well, not everybody, but I went to go see Lord of the Rings at midnight when it came out.
Yeah.
I like that experience.
Yeah, you know, I try to go see those Marvel movies with everybody, you know,
those
the
are
first
fun.
Weekend. Which, like, you know.
You and I don't know if we've done that, have we?
No, but we should. You know, Sam and I try to go quite often, but I haven't. I didn't go see, what was the last one? The Captain Marvel. I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a bummer. Like, it was fine.
I mean, this is strictly just, you know, between us and just for us, but we should try to put a group together to go see Avengers.
I'm in.
Yeah, we should get
that first weekend.
A big group to go. That'd be really fun. So today we're going to do, like I said, or if I didn't say, The Dark Knight. We're going to talk about that. It's set in Chicago. Set in Gotham.
Right, but it's still
filmed in Chicago.
Beautiful.
You and I spent some time in Chicago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We were talking before. What are your top five Chicago movies?
Top five Chicago that just makes Chicago look awesome.
Yeah,
just in general. I was saying I like Dark Knight is in the top five, I believe. And I think Blues Brothers is the best one.
Sure.
The best one of all time. I also like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
I like The Untouchables.
Yeah, that was going to say
that's great one
for me. Yeah.
Isn't The Fugitive set in Chicago?
I don't know.
Am I making that up?
The Harrison Ford Fugitive?
Yeah, the Harrison Ford Fugitive.
I'm not sure.
Maybe it's like Gary, Indiana. I don't know. Which is close enough, right?
Yeah, well, you can see Chicago from Gary, Indiana.
You can see it. I'm going to say that one gets in there for me.
I'm looking it up right now.
Dr.
Richard Kimball, a predominant Chicago vascular surgeon.
There you go. You know, another one I liked a lot as a kid, for real though, is Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
As a Chicago movie.
I always forget that one set in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, it really is not one of the best five movies in Chicago, but I just like that movie a lot.
And Thor's in it too.
Is he really?
Well, yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio plays Thor.
I didn't know he was in it. Gosh. I didn't even think about that. I mean, I haven't seen it forever. I used to love Elizabeth Shue.
So did I.
Oh, Cocktail Elizabeth Shue?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Gorgeous. Who was your first crush? Do you know who your first celebrity crush was? Mine was Vanna White.
Wow. I mean, that's a good one. That is a good one. I mean, you see her on TV a lot.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with maybe Shue.
Yeah.
Or maybe Elizabeth Shue.
She's great, yeah.
I mean, I wanted to live the cocktail life after. I was like, seems great.
I mean, who didn't?
That dude knocked up Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He knocked her right up.
He sure did.
And he was, for some reason, her family didn't like her wanting to be with a bartender.
Because they thought he was below her.
Yeah, because she was rich.
Yeah.
Right.
Which doesn't make you a better person. It just makes you rich.
Yeah, he's just rich.
I wanted to be named Flanagan for the longest time because of that movie.
Yeah. And then to get up on the bar and do some poems.
Yeah.
Those flair bartenders. There's that one scene where I think the bar's called like jail or something in there, but they're wearing, and it's a huge bar. And then they get up and they do a long rhyme.
Yeah.
It's great.
Actually, Andy and I have a friend named Tom Flanagan.
Yeah.
And I was mad at him because that was his last name.
Yeah. Well, he should have a bar right now called Flanagan's.
He should have a bar called Flanagan's.
And then someone should open a bar next to him called Cocktail and Dreams.
Yeah.
Because that would be the real, that would what you do. Because that was the-
You could just expand, yeah.
Yeah, that was the bar at the end, right? Cocktail and Dreams?
Yeah.
Where she goes, but I can't spook you.
Yep.
And then
And it's twins.
Twins. Yep.
It's twins.
That movie's so good. We remember a lot of that movie.
I'm shocked how much I know of it.
We remember a lot of that movie.
And also, like, I love that he had moved down to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And was just bartending on the beach.
Just having a great life.
I thought, I mean, that seems great.
I did want to. I mean, I really wanted to do that for a long time.
Just bartend on the beach?
Yeah. I just wanted to be that character.
Yeah.
Seemed like he was having a great time.
Yeah.
Good looking guy. It looked like he was having sex with a lot of people.
He wasn't doing bad.
No.
That beautiful woman who I think was with her husband on the beach wound up hooking up with him.
Did he sleep with his buddy's wife?
I thought that was the other guy.
That was the guy
who killed himself, right?
Yeah.
I forget his name.
That was like the ghost of his future, right? Ultimately.
He's going to end up dead on a sailboat?
Yeah, he knew that was going to be bad.
Yeah.
But that was a wonderful movie.
And, I mean, again, I know it's off topic for what we're talking, but the Beach Boys were on that soundtrack. Kokomo?
I was going to bring up soundtrack, but I didn't know if I could.
Of course.
I owned that soundtrack, and we just ran through it. Kokomo's a great song.
Kokomo's a great song.
Hippie Shakes is on that thing.
Is it really?
Hippie Shakes? Goodness sakes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
That was, I mean, you could, I bet if we played like 10 songs from there, I bet I could get five of them or six.
I'm curious if you could name, could you just name what songs are on that soundtrack?
I don't know if I could. I think I'd have to hear it.
You'd have to hear
I
it?
I think I'd have to hear.
Because all I have is Kokomo.
Oh, God, Kokomo's the best.
And is that's a Brian Wilson Jamaica. Track, right?
Ooh, I'm sure.
It's got to be, right? I mean,
it was a great song.
It's a great song.
Is McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy on that one? Or am I just throwing that in for no reason?
Well, here we go. Tutti Frutti.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The Hypnotizing Boogie.
Sure.
Chantilly Lace, mm-hmm. Addicted to Love, Hippie Hippie yeah. Shake, Powerful yeah. Stuff, Wild yeah. Again.
She got powerful stuff.
Or Kokomo, maybe. Written by Mike Love.
There you go.
Yep. Not Brian Wilson.
Kevin Love's like uncle.
Is that real?
I believe that's true. I'm not, you know, I could be making, we should have people helping us out. I could be lying.
No. But I mean, it makes sense.
I think it is. I think Mike Love is related to Kevin Love, the basketball player.
Kevin Love, NBA champion Kevin Love.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Elizabeth Shue in Hollow Man. I don't know if you saw Hollow Man.
I don't think I saw Hollow. I think I rode with Shue and then I kind of got off. I rode to like, there's a movie with, it's set in a hotel. It was so bad with Shue, I will say this, that I dated a girl in college. The movie I'm thinking about is like Tequila something.
Okay.
I can't remember who the guy is, like Nick Cage maybe. Well, I don't know. But anyway, there was a girl in college I dated who I really liked, kind of looked like Elizabeth Shue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you did it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I was in on Shue. I was a Shue head. I was a big time Shue head.
You secreted that shit into existence.
Yeah, no, I found it. I was like, does she kind of look like Elizabeth Shue? So I think eventually I also talked myself into really liking her more.
Because you're the girl or Elizabeth Shue?
Maybe both.
Yeah.
But her name was Ellen. She was very lovely and a nice person. But but she did kind of look like, and even she would admit she looked like Elizabeth Shue when she was like 20.
How much of that do you think influenced the relationship? Do you think you would have stayed with her just as long if she didn't look like Elizabeth Shue? I mean,
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it's I was a Shue head. Like I say, you know.
Yeah. She's a beautiful woman.
Right? Yeah, she's great.
Still is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've asked this with a couple people who have kids. Are you going to scare your kid when she gets older? Or no?
I think so. You know, I was thinking after we talked the other day that I remember my dad used to, he liked, or he maybe he enjoyed scaring us, mm-hmm. but we would watch like those 80s Stephen King movies like Carrie or Cujo, mm-hmm. or what's the one with the car?
Carrie or Christine.
Christine. Yeah. We'd watch Christine. We would turn off the lights, make popcorn.
Yeah.
My dad would be kind of a jerk about it, but he's like, "Burr!" You know, he'd make those noises and just grab you, you know, at inopportune time. You're like, God, stop it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think so. I think we'll turn them on and see.
I mean, I think it builds character.
Yeah, it makes her feel. And as long as she's not like a kind of a puss like her dad, I think that'll help her out.
Well, no, man, her mom's, you know,
strong.
Yeah, her mom's strong.
Yeah, she gets it. Her mom's probably fine with it.
Yeah.
But I will cover up like, oh, even in Get Out, when I went to see Get Out in the theater, I was like, ugh, I don't want to see this. It's going to be.
From Jump Street, you didn't want to be there.
I was like, it's going to be scary. Yeah. I don't want to go to this.
Yeah.
And then we watched it and I'm like, oh, it's not really that scary.
Yeah. It's still, yeah, not that bad.
As in like, it's not scary as in like, it's going to jump out and scare you. I mean, it's scary in many different ways.
Sure, right? Yeah, but there's no like boogeyman.
Or, yeah,
well, I guess there is, but.
Right, but they weren't doing anything like, you know, a guy wasn't jumping out with like a chainsaw in the forest. That kind of scary.
Yeah.
It was scary in numerous different ways, but nothing that I was more fearful of, you know, hatchets being thrown at people and stuff like that.
Real quick before mm-hmm. we break, Powerful Stuff by the Fabulous Thunderbirds is on the Kokomo soundtrack. Too,
I love that song. I think Kokomo, Powerful Stuff. Those are some of the good ones.
Yeah.
Cause also if you listen to it, they used the songs in the movie a lot.
They did.
And I don't know if they do that as much anymore.
Yeah. You
know,
I don't
like
think
soundtracks.
They do. I think the last one I remember was Seal's Kiss from a Rose and Batman Forever.
That was a great one.
It's good.
I'll give you some quick soundtracks I like just right off the top of my head.
Top five soundtracks.
Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
One. I mean, that one overtook my life. Yep. I remember. Here's one that got played in my car a lot from my mom was the Good Morning Vietnam soundtrack.
Really?
Oh my God. You put that on. I think I could almost repeat what Robin Williams is saying is like, da-dang me, won't you get a rope and hang me? Like that kind of bullshit. Like it's stuck in my head. That one's stuck. I'm giving Cocktail some love, so I'll just throw it in there for now. Another good sound. You know, another album was put, this is not a soundtrack, it's completely off topic, but my mom listened to it a lot because it made me think of it, because we were talking about the Beach Boys, was that Hell Freezes Over Gray, Eagles.
Yep.
CD. You remember Hell Freezes Over?
Yeah, they got back together.
Yeah, my mom wore that thing out.
Really?
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, Eagles are not my favorite.
No, not really. I mean, they're great, but I'm not just not a fan.
No, yeah. Yeah, they're fine. But yeah. I OD'd in that little time. I OD'd on the Eagles. Other good soundtracks. I mean, there's so many. You know, that first Batman, the 89 Joker Batman soundtrack's a good one.
Yeah, Prince.
Bat Dance.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Stop the Presses, man.
Oh, who's that? Vicki Vale. Real beauty.
Boy. Gorgeous. Beautiful woman. We've talked a lot about a beautiful lady here today.
God, we just, I mean, that's our thing. When we get together, we want to make sure we reminisce about older crushes, ladies. We want to sound as chauvinistic as possible.
For sure.
And we're just putting this down so everybody can hear it.
Right.
So we don't have to hide it anymore.
No. I mean, it's not like I just fantasized about, you know, famous ladies. I liked Leanne Yankee from my elementary school.
Yeah. No. The Yank Dog. That's what they called her.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We all called her the Yank Dog.
Yeah. I remember she sounds beautiful. Her name was
a beautiful lady.
Leanne Yankee. Was it Yankey?
That is correct. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. It's not
very smart.
Sure.
She was funny.
Oh, she sounds great.
She's great.
Well, if you can talk to her in a while.
They have no idea where she is or what she's doing.
Well, if she's listening to this podcast, just write in at myneighborsareded.com. Find if that exists, right?
I think it must.
Somebody at Gmail. Somebody's got this down.
Yeah, Hotmail.
DeFort has this somewhere.
Yeah, there's a way to get a hold of us.
Yeah, just write in and tell us what you're doing. You know what? We don't need a love connection. Just
No. I just want to see what you're doing.
Yeah, just give us a Yankee update.
I'll give you DeFort's email and you can email him.
You can email him, then he'll read it to us at some point.
All right, Andy. Well, thank you for coming by. We're gonna take a quick break and come back and talk to Hank Stankowski.
Hey neighbors, producer Nate Dufort here. This week's episode is brought to you by horror streaming service Shudder. Now, you may know that Shudder has a huge and regularly updated collection of genre films, but did you know that they also produce original podcast series? Lately, I've been listening to two of my favorites, Video Palace and She Kills. Now, you may have heard Adam and I talk about when we worked at video stores when we were younger, but I can tell you the story of Video Palace was nothing like our experience. I won't ruin it here, but this series is chock full of surprises. And then She Kills, hosted by horror icon Adrienne Barbeau, explores horror through a female lens with conversations from women in front of and behind the camera. You can find both of these shows on Shudder or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, for a free 30-day trial of everything Shudder has to offer, go to Shudder.com and use promo code NEIGHBORS at checkout. Again, get one trial month of Shudder free by going to Shudder.com and using promo code NEIGHBORS. And now, back to the show.
Well, I can't thank you so much for coming by and doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Did you find the place okay?
I did. You know, I drove around a little bit, but I found it, yeah.
Great. Well, I'm talking to Hank Stankowski. Gotham Police Department, yes?
Yeah, the GCPD.
Great. Well, again, I know you have, you know, some stories to tell, so I appreciate you coming by and doing this.
Yeah, well, thanks. You know, this is, audio talk is great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of audio talk as well. I just want to give everybody a quick, just kind of a recap as to what's going on and maybe some of your experiences. Mm-hmm. Harvey Dent, district attorney in Gotham City, right? Trying to make things better.
He was.
And all of a sudden, you get this crazy lunatic, the Joker, coming around, and he and Batman are going at it in the city.
Oh, my God.
Which really affected the GCPD.
I had a lot of friends die during that time.
That's awful.
So many.
Yeah.
You know, there was, I would say, at least double digits.
Double digits?
Oh, yeah. That was a crazy, a time span. In our life.
Well, talk to me about, before that, what attracted you to police service? And are you from Gotham? And what made you want to serve your community?
Well, I am originally from Jefferson City, Missouri, which, that's where the capital of Missouri is, Jeff City.
Okay.
So I was born and raised there, and I moved to Gotham to be an actor.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Originally. And I got at it for about 4 years. I never booked anything.
Oh, really? Nothing at all? Nope. Not even a commercial or an industrial or anything?
No, I don't even know. What is an industrial?
It's kind of like a private commercial.
A private
commercial? Well, not like a weird private commercial, but yeah, just like a private commercial.
So
like for industries, you know, like for businesses and stuff, you know? Yeah.
I know. I didn't have an agent.
Now, I should tell you, this was back in the early 80s.
Okay.
So I did that. Never booked anything. I wish I knew about these industrial commercials, because they sound like they would have made me some money.
Yeah, the money can be pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did not. And in the early 80s, anyway, not a lot of people were joining the force at the GCPD. So I gave up the dream after about 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and I joined the Boys in Blue.
So you went straight to police work.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I'm going to make a difference. If I can't do it on the screen, I'm going to do it on the streets.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been there a long time. And, you know, my mom and my dad was a cop in Jeff City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He died.
In the line of duty?
No. Yeah, oh. No, stroke. He had a stroke.
Yeah.
It just one day got him.
Yeah.
54.
54?
That's young. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was older. I thought it was kind of old.
Oh, well, no. I mean, maybe in the 80s it was. I think now it's considered a little okay. young.
Well,
you
know? Not that time.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry for your loss.
No. You know, he was an okay cop. And then when he died, I was like, let's go from the screen to the streets.
So he died when you were pursuing acting, and you thought, I'm going to just do this thing. I'm going to double down and go be a cop.
Yeah, and that's what I did. You know, it was one of his last wishes.
Was for you to be a cop?
Was for to stop acting. That was what he told me.
Oh, stop acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't do it anymore. Like, do something else.
It could have been anything.
Yeah, no, it could have been. And so I'll just do what he did.
Oh, that's nice. Were you close with your dad? Or
Not really. We were close for a while, you know, and then, you know, I moved to Gotham and, you know, it was a wonderful city.
Oh, the architecture is gorgeous.
Oh, it is beautiful. You know, when I moved there, I didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. And then I took an acting class.
Yeah.
And I met some lovely people in that acting class, and they were my friends for a little while.
I really admire you for pursuing your dream, just going for it.
Yeah, 4 years, you know?
4 years.
I just said, let's give it quattro.
You did it like high school.
Yeah, that's kind of, that was my theory, you know, like freshman year in Gotham, let's see what happens. You know, I worked at like a Dunkin' Donuts for a couple months.
Okay.
And that was fun. I ate a lot of donuts.
They're delicious.
They are delicious. And then my sophomore year, I met a girl.
Okay, nice.
And then we broke up pretty quickly. And then my junior year, and then my senior year, I graduated from screen. And I thought I was going to do Shakespeare in the Park there, but I did not.
Just never came to pass?
No, never did it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, so I became a cop, one of the Boys in Blue.
What happened to your friends that you were in acting class with? Are you still close? Did they continue to pursue their careers?
Oh, well, yeah. You know, a couple of them you may know.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Yeah, you know, there's one or two. Tom Wopat. Do you know Tom?
I know Tom Wopat.
And Tom and I were in a class, and he was like, hey, I booked a show.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was called The Dukes of Hazzard.
Get out of here.
Tom Wopat.
From Gotham City.
Yeah, drunk.
He's a drunk?
Yeah. He was at that time.
Oh, well, maybe he's cleaned up.
Yeah. No, we're hoping so. But Tom was funny, and he's a good actor.
I mean, The Dukes of Hazzard was a great show.
I'm shocked he's not getting more work.
You would think,
yeah,
with something like that.
The other kid in my class was Alfred Molina.
You were with Alfred Molina?
It was me, Wopat, and Molina.
Were you guys like a little crew?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We were the three in the Gotham acting class.
What was Molina like? Because he's pretty famous.
He's a dick.
Is he really?
Just a straight up dick.
Is he a drunk too?
No.
No.
Doesn't drink.
Well, that's even worse.
Should take the edge off, but I am not a Molina man.
That's the worst when you're just an asshole with no substance behind it.
I hate him. You know that, well, he was on Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
He was Doc Ock.
Yeah, I thought he was great in that, but now that I know this, I don't think I'll...
You don't want to get a part of Molina.
I won't look at it the same way again.
No. And Boogie Nights?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was going to be good in that. What? He was garbage.
Yeah. I mean, again, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah. You know? Go away, Molina.
Yeah, I think we've had enough of Alfred Molina.
And then there was just a few other people, but those were the only two people maybe you've really heard of. Wopat and Molina.
Was that tough for you watching them kind of, you know, get success?
Yeah.
And, yeah, wasn't
I had a hard time. I had a real hard time. I was very jealous. I mean, I you know, like a lot of people will say they're happy for their friends.
Yeah.
I was not.
I admire you coming out and saying
I was just like, F those guys.
F them, yeah.
F those. Wopat, Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Him and John Schneider became buddies?
That's...
You remember John Schneider? They're the Duke boys.
Yeah, the Dukes, yeah.
Yeah, they were buddies. And then Schneider and Wopat would be, they would just pop into acting class.
Oh, sometimes. When we you were there?
Yeah, I was still taking class.
Oh.
And then they would just pop in.
Just come back like to flaunt, you know, flaunt off in front of everybody?
Yeah, have a good time with your, you know, with your Bertolt Brecht scene or whatever, you know, whatever we were doing that
That's
day.
That's awful.
The cherry tree.
Have a little bit have a little bit of tact, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Have some tact.
You know, but did Molina ever come back?
Never.
No?
No, he was, he wrote a letter.
He wrote a letter?
Yeah, he wrote a letter to us and it was like, screw off. You guys all suck. I'm Alfred Molina.
That's what the letter
yeah,
said?
Yeah, it really was in big, like, font.
Well, that's what an asshole thing yeah. to do.
Just, I want to get this through that Molina is the worst.
Well, yeah. I mean, he sounds like a total prick.
He's a dick.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, fuck him. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, take us now. What was it like, you know, the police academy? Because I imagine I have friends who are police officers, okay. and they've said that it's not quite what they thought it was going to be. Maybe a little more danger, a little more work than what they thought.
Yeah.
Is that how you found
it? Yeah, no, for sure. It's not like the movie, Police Academy. You know, we have like a busty blonde, and you have a tall black fella, and then you have a black fella who makes awesome sounds, and then you have just like a goofball regular guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that.
I can't imagine.
It is. There's not like a tiny Asian man who's there.
Wouldn't it be great if there was one?
Tiny Asians are, you ever seen a tiny Asian cop?
No, I've never seen
it. They don't exist. I've never seen one.
I don't think I have either.
But especially the GCPD, because, you know, I don't know if you know this about Gotham. We have a lot of crime.
I've been told that
it's
there's a
heavy
lot of
crime town.
Well, and that's what, I mean, you know, Mr. Dent wanted to improve, right? Is that what I'm...
Well, he was trying, you know, and then he just went off his rocker. You know, he really lost it.
What? Talk to me about your relationship with the Batman. Did you feel like...
I don't even know who he is.
You don't know who he is?
No. I think I have an idea, though.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's this guy named Gary Stanfield. And he works at this convenience store. Every time I go in there, and I go in sometimes during the day, and he is very tired. And so I'm like, oh, Gary, what are you doing? He's like, night stuff.
Like, oh, he just says night stuff?
Yeah, he doesn't. And I'm like, you're the Batman. And so I'm pretty sure Gary Stanfield is the Batman. I can tell you exactly where he works at this convenience store. It's on a cross street. If you're looking, if you're going to go down there, try to find him. It's on like 11th and I think 24th. I think they intersect.
Okay.
And you want to find him right down there.
How old is Gary Stanfield?
He's like in his late 40s, early 50s, I think.
Okay. Is he in good shape? Because the Batman's in good
he's
shape.
He's in good shape.
So, I mean.
He looks buff.
He could be the Batman.
Yeah, I think he's the Batman, Gary Stanfield. And I this is my theory, and I believe that this is very true.
Okay.
Not good. So I see the Batman working at the convenience store. I talk to him, and then I kind of pry into his life a little bit. I'm like, I always get a coffee and a pack of certs.
Okay.
And then I'm like, Gary, why are you so tired? He's like, normally he's like, oh, just not getting a lot of sleep. I'm like, oh, really? What are you doing at night? And he said, night stuff. And so then I know, hey, you're the Batman.
That's a pretty convincing, I mean, do you have what do they call it? Like a cop's hunch or whatever?
Yeah, it's a cop's hunch.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Did you ever encounter the Batman not working at the convenience store? Did you ever encounter him in like full?
Yeah, I've been, you know, like, you know, when Gordon got shot.
Yeah.
When he was shot, I was there.
Oh, you were?
I was on the street. You know, that was just mayhem.
Yeah, that looked crazy from what I've heard in the pictures I've seen. It looked nuts.
It was crazy. You know, like. I was down there. Batman, he didn't really show up then.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, I was like, where are you now, Gary? Where are you now? But I've seen the Batman a few times, you know, like, here's my thing about him, okay? I just want to put this out there.
Okay.
There are a lot of good, hardworking cops in Gotham.
I think so, yeah.
And you know who the glory boy is? The Batman.
Gary Stanfield. Yeah.
He goes around, and we have a little flashy sign, you know, for him.
Mm-hmm.
That thing that goes in the air.
Yep. The bat signal.
Yeah. So, okay.
That's what people are calling it.
They're calling it the bat signal?
They call it the bat signal, yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes a little more sense.
What do you guys call it?
We call it the turd area. Okay. You put it up in the turd area, and the turd area is this guy.
You call this guy the turd area?
Yeah, because that's where turds go. He says, we don't like him. We don't like the Batman.
Uh-huh.
And he's just in there and he's taken all of our, you know, he takes the glory.
Yeah, I think for one Gary Stanfield to get all that credit, there's, like you said, the hard men and women, the hardworking mm-hmm. men and women of the GCPD, they often go unacknowledged.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we have a lot of other great cities in this nation.
Yeah.
Los Angeles, California.
Sure, it's great. Know,
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, beautiful.
Austin, Texas.
Lovely.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't show up there? The Joker. Bane.
Mm-hmm.
You know why they come to Gotham? They come to kill the Batman, right? To kill Gary Stanfield. So if Gary would leave Gotham, like I've asked him to do multiple times,
right,
we wouldn't have this problem.
I think that's right. Maybe he just creates more problems than he's solving, you know?
Yeah, he's not like help. What's he helping out?
Right. Talk to me about, the experience with the Joker and Gary Stanfield, because it seemed like that was a pretty nutty time in Gotham. And you said you lost, what, up to 10 people?
Double digits.
Up to 10 coworkers, brothers and sisters in blue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that time, you know, that was that whole fight, you know, it was, you know, it felt short. But it was, about a month process, really.
The whole thing.
Yeah, the whole time. And then, you know.
Of the Joker taking over the city.
Yeah, you know, Dent was, you know, he was starting to make his big run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was really pushing to be, you know, the mayor. You know,
yeah.
I believe in Harvey Dent, all that dumb shit that he was saying, you know.
Were you not going to vote for him?
No way.
No.
I was not voting for Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
I was voting for Sarah Brockling, the person running against Dent. I'm a Sarah man.
You're a Brockling.
I believe in Brockling.
I don't know much about her politics.
Well, she was kind of a hard right, which I didn't know till the bitter end.
Oh, yeah.
She kind of, you didn't see a lot of her. It was a lot of Dent.
Yeah.
It was mostly Dent. And then I was like, who's anyone running against Dent?
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out it was Brockling. So I'm like, I'm in. And then when I heard some of her policies, I was like, uh-oh. And I felt guilty, but I stuck with her. But,
you know, sometimes you just got to stick with your, you know, you got to dance with the girl that brung you.
And I was dancing with Brockling.
Yeah.
So, you know, that during that time, so, you know, Dent was in town and he was, you know, he's always in town. He was making his push, right? So, you know, the Joker started, when he came around, he started telling people, like, reveal yourself, mm-hmm. Gary. Reveal yourself, Gary. And I was like, I was screaming, Gary Stanfield is the Batman. Screamed it.
Yeah.
And no one would listen to me.
I feel like you could have went to that meeting that Dent said he was the Batman.
Oh, I did.
Oh, you did?
Because my buddy, Jeff, is one who screams, no more dead cops.
Oh, that's your buddy Jeff?
Yeah, yeah. That is my buddy Jeff.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, no, he's great.
Yeah.
And then what you didn't see, because what happens is, you know, Dent gets up and he's the Batman and everybody moves, is I scream, Gary Stanfield's Batman! And then Dent makes a move. I did that, right? I said it out loud. Gary Stanfield is Batman, but then Dent is a patsy, and we all knew that was not
bullshit.
Batman.
Yeah, he's not Batman.
We knew it.
Yeah.
And then guess who shows up to save Dent's life? Gary Stanfield.
Gary Stanfield.
Absolutely.
So I feel like you just kind of got, you know, bullied over by people saying, you know, this the patsy thing, and like, you know, no one can hear Gary Stanfield's Batman.
Yeah. No doubt. Like, right after he says no more dead cops, if you people don't know this, but I did scream it.
I think probably the most dangerous thing about being a police officer is, you know, you want to make sure you come home at night.
Yeah.
How do you honor your fallen brothers and sisters in blue with the GCPD?
Well, thank you for asking. What I do normally is I put on a little record.
Okay.
I just put on some music,
mm-hmm.
you know. I personally like all kinds of music, but I throw on a little Off the Wall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know Mike has had some issues recently with some things. But I put on Off the Wall. So I just knock those other issues out of my brain.
Sure. Remember the good times.
I remember the good times. I listen to some Off the Wall. I listen to some Thriller. I make a little ramen. And I have a little bit of bourbon and some Shasta.
Well, I think that sounds nice.
It is nice. And then, every day, I'm like, I'm going to be the new Gary Stanfield.
You want to become the new Batman?
No, I don't want to be the new Batman, but I want to be someone who's going to help the people.
Well, I think you're doing it being a cop. I think that's great.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying. You
know. Are you still on the beat? Are you?
You know, I'm down to like 2 days a week.
Oh, you're part-time in it.
I'm real part-time now.
Yeah,
you know, like I'll still go out. You know, I'm getting closer to retirement, and I'm thinking about getting back into acting.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, you know that older people are kind of the new rage, I think, in shows.
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go back and go back into Gotham acting class.
I mean, that's great. I think you absolutely should do that.
Yeah.
So any words of advice for somebody who maybe wants to transition out of police work into becoming an actor or anything else? I mean, cause now, like, I imagine you would think that, you know, life is pretty valuable now after what happened.
Yeah. You know, my advice is, follow your dreams and watch out for Gary Stanfield. That is my general advice to you. 11th and 24th, there's a little convenience store that he runs.
Well, Hank, I mean, you know, thank you for coming by and sharing your story.
Well, thanks for having me.
I can't tell you how much I admire you and the work that you do. Thank you for the work that you do. The one thing I like about you is if you have a grudge, you hold on to it.
Oh, yeah. I don't like a lot of people. Hey, can I use this audio file for my reel?
Yeah, sure. I don't see why not. I don't think it'd be a problem. That's great. You looking to get into some voiceover?
No, for acting.
Oh, okay.
What is voiceover?
It's kind of like acting, but into a microphone. They don't really see your face.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you can do voiceovers in industrials.
And an industrial is a private commercial.
More or less. Maybe I'm doing a bad job of explaining it, but yeah.
I don't know what it is, though.
It's kind of a private commercial, like for a business, you know, like if you're doing like maybe like a training video for like, you know, I don't know, the big pharma, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Got it. Like I could do an industrial for the GCPD.
You could. Yeah. You could be the guy who maybe welcomes new recruits and saying like, you know, here's the dangers, you know, even maybe do a thing about how Gary Stanfield's the Batman.
Oh, that's a first thought that went through my head. that will be my industrial.
Yeah.
I'm going to put out an industrial commercial about Gary Stanfield being the Batman.
And you can do your own voiceover, too.
And that voiceover is the voice that goes over the work.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes. Ah. Yeah. Any words for Alfred Molina?
Molina, suck it.
Well, Hank, you've said it all. I appreciate you coming in and telling your story.
Thank you.
Best of luck in your acting career.
Ah, well, you know, only hopefully you'll see me on the screen.
Hey, don't give up on your dreams. And that's for everybody, but especially you.
Yeah, Gary Stanfield. The Batman.
Thanks, Hank.
Thanks for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock. The show was produced by myself and Nate Dufort, with editing done by Nate Dufort. Original music was composed by Jesse Case, with additional music by Dane Halverson. Our artwork was done by Mark Nishan. Hank Stankowski was played by Andy St. Clair. You can catch Andy doing comedy all around the Los Angeles area. If you'd like to support My Neighbors Are Dead while getting unique swag and a look behind the scenes of how we make the show, go to patreon.com/mynaborsaredead. No amount is too small and every bit helps. If you have yet to rate and review the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please take a second to do so now. It helps us grow and it helps new neighbors find the show. And you can find us on Facebook and at Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Stop by, give us a follow, and share your favorite episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Did you know that you're a big fan of Baywatch? Well, you will be after you hear our show, Baywatch Watch! I'm Ryan, Ray-Ban's Count's House.
I'm Zach, Zerf's Up Olsen.
I'm Heather, Heatwave Higginbotham.
New episodes every Friday on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Campfire Media.
Get wet!
We're gonna get soaked.
Campfire.